This is Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman.
Hello, lovers. It's me, Damona Hoffman, and I am here to talk to you about love in the modern world. This is the place where modern love is made simple. I'm your host, certified dating coach, Damona Hoffman. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Mr. Ray Christian, the CEO of the Textbird app.
Top of the morning.
Hey, hey, hey. So this is going to be a really fun show. I wanted to like do a little deep dive on the dating apps and talk about what words that you can use in your profile will get you more swipes. So the single ladies are going to need to stick around for that.
Not here for hookups?
Of course. Or here for hookups, and then people will be swiping all the time. And we have a celebrity online dating romance gone wrong. Plus, we'll discuss what makes a man marriageable. And we have some great Textbird app questions to decipher, like how to deal with a crabby girlfriend and what does it mean if it hurts to have sex? Not ooh ah, but ouch, ouch.
Hurts so good.
Hurts so good. Or so bad. Plus, we're going to do an on-screen romance this week. I'll tell you which shows the hopeless romantics out there need to be watching or binge watching this weekend. What's up, Producer Thomas?
Large and in charge as always.
As always. You ready to do the... Well, you're not.
I was born ready.
He's dating dish.
Okay, words to avoid in dating profiles. This was an interesting article in Cosmo that said that there are certain terms that could really be a deal breaker in your dating profile. So, I mean, it's funny. The article said at the end that it was kind of like duh. But I actually thought that there were some interesting words that were a little bit unexpected. But the overall idea is that anything that makes you seem like you're going to be a boring date, like, don't use that. The words like shy, happy, trustworthy. Instead, it showed that if you use words like sexy, honest, confident, that really showed that you were somebody worth swiping right on. What did you think about this article?
This was a funny article because it felt a little bit like Pavlov's dog.
Uh-huh.
I felt like the dog because I can't really explain. I have a tough time explaining why these words work. Shy, happy, trustworthy. I don't know why, but those actually really turned me off. And I see words like sexy, honest, and confident. And I'm like, I'm quite titillated.
Really?
So this article, they're right. They're totally right.
Do you think it's that it indicates something else? Like, does it mean, oh, shy, then she's not going to be an interesting date. She's not going to be interesting in bed. Does it have other connotations?
Okay, shy, that sounds boring. Happy, that sounds like forced and awkwardly like positive.
That's just vanilla.
Vanilla. Trustworthy, it's like, okay. But and yet, honest, I'm like, okay, honest. I respect that. But trustworthy, for some reason, does turn me off. Confident and sexy, I mean, those are no-brainers. This is a strange one. I mean, we could probably go even deeper, but I definitely agree. Do not use shy, happy, and trustworthy. And definitely use sexy, honest, and confident. I agree.
Well, someone that probably used sexy, honest, and confident in her profile would be Amy Schumer. Can you believe Amy Schumer met her boyfriend on Raya, a dating app? They just broke up, but that's why he hasn't been seen with her at the Snatched premiere and all of the press that's been going for that. But I was actually surprised to learn that someone like Amy Schumer would make a connection on a dating app. And, you know, there's all this talk of, is she like too ballsy and bold? And yet this article is saying that men want women that are confident and ballsy and bold. But I wonder if Amy Schumer is just too much of that, too much of a good thing, right?
Yeah, it's funny. When her show came out a while back, Inside Amy Schumer, I think it was called, or mm-hmm. something like that, it was good. It was a very good show. And what it did well was it kind of danced on that line of like funny, edgy, raw without being too crass.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's too crass. She's taking it too far.
Did you watch the Netflix special?
No, I heard bad reviews about it, though. But the last one I saw was just made me feel uncomfortable. And it's kind of rare to make me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked that she had a boyfriend. She kind of strikes me as the one, the energy she puts out is like the desperate single woman energy. And I was shocked that she had a boyfriend, but not shocked that if it was a dating app, it came from Raya. Because that is kind of like, that's the elite dating app, not the league.
Tell the folks at home all about Raya.
Well, the quick gist of it is essentially they look at your Instagram. You have to submit your Instagram, which is a sign of the times. But And then they judge. And if they think you have that je ne sais quoi, you're in.
I
applied and I got the niche.
Really?
Yeah, this is like a year and a half ago.
Did they look at your Instagram?
My Instagram was a little hurting, I would say, 2 years ago. And it's better now. I don't need it anymore. But Raya is, that's the elite red velvet rope.
I also saw that they have a committee that reviews your application. And I'm like, who is on this committee? And then I was like, I want to be on this committee. Like, why? How? I'm going to put that on my resume.
Just a judge.
Committee member on Raya. Like, and then they said it helps if you are already connected to somebody that's in the Raya community. So you have to know somebody who's been admitted in. Obviously not you.
My sister got in. She got in.
So you knew somebody. You were a legacy and still nothing.
Yeah, I kind of had given up after a while, but it's a good idea. Even though obviously I can't use it now, I respect the idea of like make it exclusive. It's like Gmail when they first came out, you couldn't get a Gmail account; you had to be invited.
That's true.
Facebook, you could not get in originally unless you had a .edu email address.
Well, that's because they didn't want creepers.
You're right.
Nobody wants the creepers, though. Raya sure doesn't want the creepers. Well, we wish Amy Schumer lots of luck, and maybe she'll find a guy that likes that shtick that she does.
I mean, she had a boyfriend for 2 years. That's a good market indicator that she is tolerable.
Wonderful. Well, one thing that is just not tolerable are broke-ass dudes. There was a really interesting article on WashingtonPost.com that said women just aren't into marriageable males. This article was so deep on so many levels, I actually read it three times. And I mean, I barely skim anything, and I read it three times. So it tracked the, you know, I love a good study, and looking at societal influences on dating and relationships. And it showed that in areas where there was a boom in fracking and like oil production, there was also a boom in birth rates. But it also showed that the a lot of these, as men were making more money, then women were more likely to marry them. But if men are not making money, they're sometimes women who are making money will still have the baby, but they won't marry the male unless he's actually contributing to the household. And I was like, this story like really messed with my brain. And there were so many different factors in like the guys that work in fracking and oil production, they're sort of nomadic, and then they come in and they make a lot of money, and then they leave, and then they leave all these babies behind. But I was also just surprised to see that there were 40% of the children that were born in the United States were born to unmarried women now. And we talked about before, like, do the celebrity patterns impact regular people and attitudes in other parts of the world or other parts of the country? And it turns out, I think it's actually the shift in what we're seeing in Hollywood actually impacting how people are feeling about unwed mothers. But it was like there's so many different things in this article on like, is it about men and how much money they make? Is it about women getting more education and not wanting to be with blue collar men? I don't know. It's deep.
There's two sides of that coin that caught my attention. So as men make more money, more marriages occur in a given environment. In this particular small town where fracking became ubiquitous, more money was then made by the men, more marriages occurred. So I would say there's two factors. One is maybe men are proposing more when they have a little more pocket change that they can kick around.
That's true.
Because, and then the second thing I would say is that the gold digging idea. So are women gold digging, essentially? And that's the meanest way to put it. But essentially, are they more willing to get married when the guy has a little bit more money? And it's funny to tell a quick little story. When I was growing up in Potomac, Maryland, I kind of had this negative viewpoint of the gold digging type. And it was a concept that it kind of rustled me the wrong way, that women would be with a man for their money. And as I've gotten older, in my mid-20s, and I read a couple really cool books, I realized it's totally understandable for women to want a man that has resources. Because guess what? They're going to be laid up for 9 months and then even longer after the child. So this all actually makes sense to me. And I think the gold digging as a concept shouldn't have as negative connotation as it does.
I don't know. I still feel a little bit negative about gold digging. But I thought it was interesting in this article. It was showing a lot of the women are making more money, too. And they even referenced this book where the term marriageable man was coined. And that really looked at the Black community. And they saw that employed women in those communities that were having a lot of unmarried children being born out of wedlock, there were a lot of employed women, but unemployed men. So it's like, if you are a woman that's like doing your thing and you're making your own money, you don't want another kid to take care of. You want a guy that's at least at your level or higher. Not necessarily gold digging. We could talk about this for days, but we have lots more to talk about after this break. We have Technically Dating, where we'll be giving dating relationship advice to you folks at home. So stick around. I'm your host, Damona Hoffman, here with Ray Christian at the lovely Sunset Gower Studios in Hollywood, and we'll be right back.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code GIFT18 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out adamandeve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping, when you enter offer code GIFT18. That's GIFT18 at adamandeve.com.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. We are live. We are at the Sunset Gower Studios in Hollywood, and we have your questions. Yes, you. The questions that all of the world has been posting on the TechSpert app. We're going to bring you just the best ones and the ones that really piqued our interest to talk about in Technically Dating.
Technically Dating.
Do you know how to spell piqued, by the way?
Did I misspell something?
Yes, you misspelled it as you said it to me.
Oh, P-I-Q-U-E-D. I am a college-educated woman.
That. Well, a lot of, even college-educated people don't know how to spell that. Most people don't know how to spell that.
Believe me, I misspell quite a few words. I misspell my share of words, but not that one.
You continue to amaze me, Mrs. D.
Let's enter in the spelling bee contest. The 25th annual Sunset Gower Spelling Bee. Okay. No.
So, Damona, we got our surgeon's tools, and we went probing for the best textbook questions. And number one question was, our first question was from a young lady. She's 18, and she says quite succinctly, "How do you know if you're over someone?"
Well, I would say when you stop Instagram stalking them, then maybe you're done with it. I mean, I think it's different for everyone, right? But when you feel like the breakup does not take up the majority of your thoughts, and when you feel like you can live your life separate from that person without wondering what are they doing, what would they think of this, how can I get back at them, who is this girl that they're with, I think that might be a sign that you've moved on.
I think there's one clear sign that you're over that person, and it's quite simple. Does the thought or the sight of that person with a new lover leave you feeling ambivalent? That's the canary in the coal mine for me.
There you go. That's good.
Like, and actually for me, maybe not even either ambivalent or happy for that person. Like, I have exes, and I'm happy that they're with this new guy.
But does it matter if you're with someone else or not? Because sometimes it's easier to be like, oh, I'm happy for them when you've got your own.
True. That lowers the bar a little bit. But I think even as I've been single and I've seen my exes in relationships, I'm happy for them. And or doesn't give me a rise in emotions. And that's the test.
There you go. Now you know.
We have a question from a young fella. He's 17. He says, my girlfriend's always really crabby and pissy lately and really short with me and tries to shut me down. Always screens my phone calls and never makes an effort to talk to me. When I asked her if she wanted to be with me anymore, she said, if I didn't want to be with you, I wouldn't be. I love her. And it never used to be this way. She just started acting like this a month ago and it's still continuing. I don't know what to do. Any advice?
Oh, girls, we are so complicated, aren't we? We say one thing, we do another. How can you sort us out? I don't know. I'm going to kick it back to you. I always take the first pass. It's time for you to tell me what you would do in that situation. Crabby girlfriend.
You know my favorite martial art is relationship jujitsu.
Jiu-jitsu. Right, I do know it.
I would say give her a taste of her own medicine. And you pull back, and you ghost her a little bit, and you leave her on red a little bit. Give her a taste of that own, of her medicine. See how she likes it. And at the end of the day, if she really likes you, she'll kind of see the tea leaves changing, and she'll come back around. But right now, you're showing her there's no consequences. She can treat you like shit, and there's no consequences. And if you give them leeway, people tend to take it. So play some mind games with her, and don't make a fit, just show her. Don't talk, show actions.
There you go. I think that's a good rule of thumb in any relationship, right? Like, it's really not about what you say, it's about what you do. And what she's doing is acting pretty, you know what? I'm not going to say it, the B word. But so either she's testing you or she really is moving on, and maybe she's trying to, like, set up her escape hatch. If I didn't want to be with you, I wouldn't be with you. But then she's like really kind of working her game on the other side so that she can have someone else to jump into the arms of. Because a lot of people, I think, are afraid to end a relationship until they have another relationship in the wings.
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot of fear of just being solo that shouldn't really be there, because it's not worth it to stay in a relationship that doesn't make you happy. And this is the thing that always gets me when people say, like, I really love my girlfriend and, you know, she's really great. But then you look at the way she's treating him and it's like, she doesn't talk to me. She doesn't pick up my calls. She acts crabby and pissy to me. And it's like, wait, I'm sorry. What do you love about her again? Mm-hmm. Really look at the facts,
yeah.
not just the feeling. Look at the facts.
Facts. One of my favorite quotes is, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it's kind of a facsimile there, because what does someone with absolute power have? They don't have consequences. Whatever they do, it doesn't matter. And when people have no consequences, they tend to go off the deep end with drunkenness and power. And this is a smaller version of that. If you give your girlfriend or boyfriend absolute power, and it doesn't matter what they do, you're going to sit there and be pawing at them because you just love them so much, then they're going to abuse that power.
Was that a thinly veiled political illusion?
So look, if you're in a relationship, just make sure you try to fire the FBI director.
Yes, whoever's getting intel on you, definitely fire them.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, we got a question from a young lady at the ripe old age of 22. She says, so the guy I'm seeing asked me if I wanted to start planning a trip to Rome in September, October. with him, and I told him I only do trips with my boyfriends, and he said that he knows and that by then he's sure we're going to be official. And I told him that's cute, but that till then I don't want to make any plans. I told my mom about it, and she said I should still not go with him, even if we end up being official, because it's too early. I'm 22 and he's 25. Any thoughts?
I love how it's like female from somewhere, and then she says mom. It's like, honey, we know where you're from. So from England, it's not a huge trip, but it is a trip. And I agree with her that you shouldn't make any plans that are going to is he paying for it? I mean, if he's paying for it, just say you'll go and whatever. But
wait, why? Just waste this fool's money?
It's not that she doesn't want to be official. She wants to be official. So if this fool's going to pay for it and he's making a promise for the future, then let him put his money where his mouth is, okay?
There's a hashtag. It's called hashtag waste his time 2017. Are you a subscriber to that hashtag?
No. I meant what I said. See, my actions match my words.
All right, Damona will take your offer, Mr. Guy.
I would love Rome. I would love to go to Rome. I mean, nothing's going to happen, but if he wants to take me to Rome, DM me or something, because we can work something out, I'm sure.
Are you 36 right now?
Am I 36?
That's the age. Remember the last show? That's the age where things go a little bit interesting.
No, I'm older than that. Thank you.
No, you're 36 Thanks. In my mind.
I'm 30 forever 36. But I think she's got to, if he's willing to make that kind of a commitment, I think going on a trip with someone is a really big commitment. Mm-hmm. If he's willing to make that commitment, but he's not willing to say right now that you're his girlfriend, let's deal with that situation first, because to me, that shows that something's off. You don't like plan to make someone your girlfriend in the future and buy a plane ticket for what, 5 months out, because you think your mind is going to change between that point and between now and that point. No, make up your mind now if you're trying to make plans for the future. And if you're not, then what do you think is going to happen between now and then? Like, what does she have to do? What hoops does she have to jump through to get the magical title of girlfriend from him?
I think you sussed it out to the max. You're right. Why would you? No, we're not going on a trip. I'm not even your girlfriend. Hell no. Although it is kind of the equivalent of like us going to, I don't know, Texas from here. Because from England to Rome, I guess it's not that far. But still, no, you're not together. Hell no, no trips. I would even say, to take it a step further, in the first 6 months, no trips together longer than a 3-day weekend. Don't do that. Don't do this like shiny object over here of a relationship. Find out in the first 6 months if you guys really like each other, the minutiae, the everyday life together. The dinners here and there, the quiet weekends together occasionally before you start planning these trips that may really put rose-colored glasses on the experience.
Or just get it and buy trip insurance. It's like relationship insurance. Wouldn't that be great? Could we create that, like a relationship insurance product?
Like hedge on any future expenses?
Yeah.
So it's marketed to guys, I presume. Or are there girls that are buying future trips and makeup and clothes?
Makeup, clothes. Well, what about time, though? Time is the most valuable resource. Can we put a number on that? I don't know. We'll talk about that later.
We should explore the slavery option.
Stop it.
I see where you're going.
No, stop it. I'm talking about relationship insurance. Do not put that word in my mouth.
There's an entrepreneur that I know who has an idea that says, I will invest in you if you give me X percent of your future earnings over the next 20 years, which like is an intriguing concept when you think about it. At 22, I'm sure I would love $100,000 to like explore some ideas and start a company. But then I owe you like a chunk of me and everything I do. It's like kind of a shade of slavery or indentured servitude.
It's kind of called like having a manager or an agent. It's basically like the same thing.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
Interesting.
I mean, your contract isn't for 20 years, but yeah. Why do you think there's all these issues with like so-and-so owes their manager $2 million and they're taking him to court because they're like, oh, no, 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 I got famous. I don't need you anymore. I'm not going to pay you. And the manager's like, hold on a second. That's off topic.
What a dirty business.
Oh, yeah.
Well, speaking of dirty. All right. This is a nice, quick and tight question. She's 17.
Say quick and tight.
And she says, what are some dirty things I can say to my man?
This is a weird question. This is a weird question because I think what turns your man on might not be the same as what turns my man on. You got to figure out what he likes and then say that. I don't think that there's okay, like a... I can't give you a script. Like, okay, well, first you say, I'm going to blah, 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 blah. Come on, this is a PG-13 show.
Is it? I thought we were cursing now.
R.
Okay. We're not NC-17.
We're not NC-17. Even though she's 17.
I think, well, the whole it depends answer, I think, does her a disservice. I think... there are some things we can try. I think stop me if I'm getting too much, but I would say that feels amazing. Don't stop.
Those aren't dirty things. Those are informational.
Can I finish?
I'm sorry.
I'm scaling up slowly.
Please finish.
which is one of my dirty things to say. Can I finish?
Please finish.
This is so hot. You're so hard. I'm so wet. I'm going to be coming. I am coming. I'm so attracted to you. Oh, my God. Things of that nature. Describe the experience. Be in the moment.
Describe the experience. Okay.
I don't know about the whole, like, F me daddy hard kind of stuff. That's a little bit too much for me.
Really? Come on.
I don't know if I want to be called. I'm not currently a daddy, so I don't really want to be called a daddy. And like, is there some weird daddy issues and stuff there? But start small, see what he responds to, and start with stuff like that.
What about commands or instructions?
One thing I would say do not do. If he appears to be expending maximum effort in the act, do not say, do it harder, harder. Because at that point, that's all he's got. So just, you know, don't be rude.
Okay. But something that is instructive about what you like, I think, is helpful.
Yeah, and how turned on you are and how much you like it and just be in the moment. Describe the situation. Just talk about what's going on. Wow, you're really
you're
inserting
like
the penis into the vagina. This is
play by play.
Very arousing. No.
Definitely say that, actually. I'm sorry. We can give you a script. That was it.
Have you seen the movie Her?
Yes.
Remember the scene where like he does the phone sex when she's like, oh, my God, there's a dead kitten. Just strangle me with a dead kitten. Don't do stuff like that.
Some people like that. This is what I'm saying. It's back to my original point. Some people like that. You just can't guess. Maybe her boyfriend likes that.
Okay.
Strangling kittens.
We'll talk about the dead kitten later.
Weird.
All right. So we have a young lady. She's the excellent age of 26. She says, is it weird that my ex, who I still have feelings for, is with somebody else? And yet I'm helping him try and fix the relationship he's now in. I give him the same advice I'd give my close friends, and all my friends keep telling me I should be petty and be mean, but I rather would see everyone happy in life. So should I stop trying to help him or what? I'm lost here because I still have feelings, but he hurt me so badly that I probably shouldn't ever want him back.
Or want to be his friend. Like, if he really hurt you that bad, he's not someone that you should continue to allow into your life. This is like a battered woman here who, like, she got the pain and she is stuck in that situation and in that feeling. And I have to tell her that she can get out of it. And her friends, I don't know about their advice about being petty. you don't need to be petty, but stand up for yourself, girl, and tell him. you know what? I still feel like I have some feelings that I haven't dealt with yet from our breakup, and this isn't healthy for me. You do that trick too. Like, this is about this is just how I'm feeling, right?
Can't argue with my feelings.
Right.
How do you know?
Well, and that's a really good technique. You can't argue with someone else's feelings. So if it's not about, like, why are you making me give you advice about your girlfriend? Nobody's making you do anything. You're choosing to do that. You're choosing to do that and to continue to, I think, because it allows her to feel like she's close to him and he's sharing things with her. But you're continuing to hurt yourself. It's really detrimental, actually. And so she needs to just cut him off. It's not healthy for her. She's not able to move on into another relationship. And there's no way that your advice is going to sabotage the relationship with the girlfriend, unless the boyfriend really just doesn't want to be with that girlfriend. But it's really not your business, and it's really hurting you to continue to have that conversation.
Yeah. I had an ex that I'm somewhat friendly with. I don't talk to her anymore. She reached out to me after she was having some problems with her current boyfriend. And I reminded her, I'm like, I'm not your gay best friend. Let's get this straight. I'm your ex, and, like, I'm not going to help you with your current relationship. And I think the sentiment here applies. It's like, this is a beta move. This is a beta move to, like, try to help your ex with their current, even whether you have feelings for them or not. It's even worse if you actually have feelings for them. It's like, no, I'm not helping you with that. I'm not your buddy. I'm your ex-lover. So be an alpha, cut that person out, unless there's some potential you want to get back with them, in which case you should cut them out for sure for now while they're in a relationship, and definitely yes. Don't help them. Cut them off.
And I think it's kind of abusive of him to allow her to be used in that way. You know, I that makes me feel icky that he thinks, oh, I can talk to her about my current girlfriend. I think it's just his way of keeping her in the mix in case it doesn't work out.
Maybe making her jealous, keeping her around.
Nah, this is a bad scene. Get out.
Well, at a more broad level, this next question is apropos. She's a young lady, 18. She says, can your ex be your friend again?
Yes. Yes. As long as you've moved on and you're not, we covered in the first question what the signs are. And then I think absolutely your ex can be your friend again.
I say no. Your ex cannot be your friend. A friend is not an ex-lover. It's a different category of a relationship. But unless maybe they are across the country and there's literally no chance that you guys would hang out with each other on a whim, on a drunken night, on a booty call text because you guys are 3,000 miles away or 1,000 miles away. Maybe you can be friends that chat every once in a while. But a friend, for me, doesn't have an expiration date. And any ex and any of my girlfriend's exes should have an expiration date. Those friendships should have an expiration date. Because if we get married and have kids, I don't want you calling him every week and just catching up and getting drinks, just the two of you. Because guess what? That's what friends do. So I say no. Maybe some weird relationship, some long distance, occasional catch up. But I don't even know if I would call that friends. So I would say hell no. But maybe it's a he said, she said.
Maybe in the future.
You got a lot of friends? Your exes are friends?
I do, but it's not like I see them that often, you know? It's like, oh, they pop up on Facebook or like maybe I run into them at a party. Mm. But it's not like we're like, let's go get coffee and, you know, have lunch. And yeah, it's not that kind of friend.
That's what I would call a friend. The way you described it earlier, I'd probably call it an acquaintance.
I'm a Sagittarius. I have a lot of friends.
Well, we have a young lady at 34, the best age, in my opinion. She says, do you ladies ever feel physical discomfort after having sex with a new guy? I had sex with a new guy last week, and now I'm feeling pelvic pain or something. I'm not sure if it's in my head, LOL, but I'm paranoid because no condom was used. Monkey covering the eyes emoji. How soon before I can take an STD test? Maybe I'm just PMSing. Anyone ever felt like this? I'm also really stressed out right now, and I'm getting ready to move, and my sleep schedule is all effed up.
Yeah. That's what not using a condom will do to your sleep schedule or having children. This is the first night I slept through the entire night in like a week and a half.
Mazel, mazel.
Not because of unprotected sex. because of my children, which is what not using condoms leads to, right? See, it comes full circle. This could be problematic. So it could be nothing. It could be if it was very aggressive pounding. It could, you can actually have bruising internally. So it could be that you, like, the tissue inside your uterus is needs some time to heal. Or it could be an STD. I mean, I would have to know a little bit more about the kind of sensation, but I would say, hey, it's never too early to get an STD test. You should test early and often. But I actually looked this up because I want to be responsible. The incubation period for most STDs is somewhere between, this is going to be a big range, between 3 and 25 days. Actually, with HIV, it could be up to 2 months.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah, okay.
About that. So you kind of have to test, but then you also have to test again. And there's a lot of STDs that if you don't catch them early or treat them early, they can lead to much bigger problems later on. So I would say if you're thinking about it, why not test now? But then also plan to get tested again a couple months down the road. But see your doctor so that you can figure out what's going on up in there. There's a lot of equipment up there that you need to figure out how it's working.
I agree. I think it's good to get the test. Maybe wait a month and then another one at 3 months just to be safe. But I think it also very likely could just be a false alarm. I think especially with aggressive sex or with, you know, hair sometimes can cause like a little ingrown hair with pubic hair can cause like a little a growth. Mm-hmm. And you can have just soreness, just plain old soreness because of the nature of the sex. Even us, even guys can actually be sore in that region occasionally. So it very well could just be a false alarm, but probably good to get tested. I would say if I had to bet that she's okay, she does not have an STD, but get tested for sure.
Or she could be pregnant. So she also said maybe just check into that too. Mm. Because that was the number one sign for me. Both times when I was pregnant, I felt unusual cramping early on. So I don't know. Check it out, girlfriend. Well, hopefully you'll stick around to check out what else we have coming on Dates and Mates. After this break, we'll be doing a little on-screen romance and rant and a diatribe all about what's happening in the modern world of dating. So stick around.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-900-8195 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-900-8195 to take your call now. Call 800-900-8195. That's 800-900-8195. Again, 800-900-8195.
Hey, lovers. Welcome back to Dates and Mates. So I like to keep y'all informed about what's happening in the world of modern dating. Sometimes that involves a little bit of entertainment. Oh, no, not that kind of entertainment. But I wanted to talk to you guys about what shows to watch if you're a hopeful romantic. Notice I did not say hopeless. I said a hopeful romantic like me. So we're bringing back one of our oldies but goodies, on-screen romance.
Action!
I love you.
This is my first on-screen romance, by the way.
Yes, it was a little shorter than usual, but you know, sometimes it's like that. So you know, I had.
Touche.
Touche. I had surgery a couple of weeks ago, which is not fun. But the fun part is you get to sit on your butt and watch Netflix ad nauseum and not feel guilty about it because you can't do anything mm-hmm. else. So it was good. I got caught up, as you guys know, on 13 Reasons. And then I moved on to Love, second season. But then I found Master of None, season 2, which premiered a few days ago. This is the Netflix show with Aziz Ansari. And he launched the show a little bit after he wrote this book, Modern Romance. Fantastic book, by the way.
Excellent book.
I'm very judgmental about books in the space of love, but I thought this was unbelievable. And I thought this season of Master of None was also quite unbelievable. So much of season 1 was about his quest for love. I won't tell you how it ends in case you haven't watched it. That's the funny thing about Netflix. Like, you can watch the whole thing in one sitting. So maybe you haven't watched it. But he starts season 2 and he goes off to, well, okay, so he's single. I just have to tell you because I can't talk around it without telling you. So he starts season 2 single. He heads off to Italy, the most romantic place in the world, to learn how to make pasta. And then he comes back to New York and he's single. And his friend is doing quite well on dating apps. So he thinks, why not try it out? And this is like, you got to at least get up to episode 4. It's called The First Date. And it chronicles the experience of dating in on a Tinder-like site. And I just thought it was really expertly done and really capturing what that experience is like to be an online dater, just hoping for a good one. What do you think?
That was it probably finally allowed you to live vicariously through the life of an online dater since you missed that window.
I didn't miss that window. What are you talking about?
You never did Tinder.
Not Tinder, but it was the same thing. I'm not that old. My God.
Tinder is different from Match. It's very similar.
Honey,
it's different.
Not. It was not. Trust me.
I've done both.
You don't know my system.
You were. You are definitely more involved in that swipe culture because you advise people. So I'll give you that.
What do you feel is different?
There's just way less commitment on the swipes than a Match. I've done Match way, way back. I've done Tinder. I've done Hinge and all of them. There's just way less commitment. It's way less effort, way less buy-in, way more flaked dates than on Match.coms.
But he didn't
obviously
get flaked.
Similar culture.
The experience that he was showing was the experience of being on the dates.
Well, and
which
you know,
I believe is the same.
Okay, that's fair. And I didn't really want to like this episode because I'm like, this is kind of played out. Tinder was at its heights 2 years ago. And I found myself...
No.
I found myself...
At its height 2 years ago.
Enraptured. It's not as cool as it was. But I found myself enraptured. And as I watched that episode, the way they did it was brilliant. And I felt like a Vietnam War vet going through flashbacks.
Right? Right, yeah.
I'm like, oh God, I don't want to be doing that again. But it was delightful. A good episode.
It's interesting. I had a similar experience watching it as like having flashbacks, but I was like, oh, that would be fun again. I mean, like I have no interest in leaving my husband for it.
The concept of it,
I'm like, oh, that was kind of fun. I enjoyed it. I mean, most of the dates were first dates, but I enjoyed that process of being like, being excited of like, what could this be? And really seeing who is this person in front of me. The time I was like, I mean, I didn't have that many real train wrecks. I mean, most of them were just like, oh, he seems like a nice guy, but
meh.
No. But meh.
A lot of meh.
But I mean, not a lot of like, oh my God, he's going to kill me.
Right.
Or anything. What, I mean, was your experience a lot of meh?
Yeah, a lot of sevens and seven and a halves.
That's more than meh. Meh is 4 to 5.
No, that 4 to 5. That's like, oh God, dear God, get me out of here. But I think, yeah, I mean, I don't want to marry or be with a 7 or 7.5. And I know that's kind of crass. It's like so frowned upon to assign a number to a person. But
are you talking about?
I'm not against it. Actually.
So you're talking about the person, not just the experience of the date.
Oh, yeah. Well, both, I guess. But yeah,
you seem nice and all, but you're just a 7. I'm intent. I can only be with a 9 or a 10.
Well, I think you should have. I think it's a good practice to have an idea of what you think of yourself on the scale of 1 to 10, and you should probably be hovering around that little range.
Well, I mean, there's like an overall score, or is it? Because there's some people that it's like, well, your looks are a 3, but your personality is a 10. So is that person a 6?
Yeah, it's an overall score. Their looks, their personality, their chemistry. All of it is all rolled into one. And the fit with you. It's all this blended number all into one little simple number.
Oh, gosh. So glad to not be on that scorecard. Also, y'all, you got to keep an eye out this week for The Bachelorette. This is the first, they're saying, the first Black Bachelorette. She's she was a contestant in the last season of The Bachelor. Didn't make it all the way through, so they said, why not give her own season? And they just unveiled all of the crazy contestants. I didn't see one match for her among them, honestly. I was like, they're just trying to make this like a shit show. But I don't know. I'll be tuning in on May 22nd, so I'll give you the play-by-play.
Why? Are there no Black Bachelors?
Okay, why did you just assume that it was going to be a Black Bachelor that she had to match with?
Well, are there none at all?
No, there are plenty. There are 11 Black Bachelors. There's 17 White Bachelors. I think there's one Asian and one Latino.
And you're not feeling any of them?
I just feel like, you know, they're making a TV show. Mm. And she's like a high caliber lady. And there's some guys there that are just, they're just going to be there for entertainment value. But we'll see. But I mean, why not mix it up? There's still 17 white guys. Go figure.
I hate white guys.
God, white guys. Speaking of white guys.
I'm a self-loathing white guy.
So, Ray, you got something to get off your chest this week. Why not put 60 seconds on the clock to talk about what?
Well, something's really been gray in my hair.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what it is? Stay out of other people's business.
Okay, Producer Thomas.
I'm sick and tired of people sticking their noses into other people's business. If someone has a vice and it's not hurting others and it's not hurting themselves, just zip it and move along. Maybe they like a glass of wine every night. Maybe they don't use condoms, or they do use condoms or birth control. Maybe they don't practice a religion. Maybe it's a bong hit. Maybe it's a chicken sandwich with a side of extra gluten. Maybe it's a sexual frolic with someone of the same sex. Why should we care about your unsolicited opinion? Are you the Dalai Lama or a Nobel Peace Prize winning thought leader? No? Then shut your yap. If you see someone engaging in something you don't like but it's not harmful, just channel the great philosopher Kermit the Frog, sip some tea, and mutter to yourself, well, that's none of my business.
Did Kermit the Frog really say that?
It's a very popular meme. You've never seen the tea sipping Kermit?
No. Oh, it's just a meme. It's meme Kermit. It's not real Kermit.
I think he actually did say it in an episode, but I'm not up on the
you're not up on
Sesame Street comings and goings.
Isn't this just all we do on the show all day long? Is mind everyone else's business? You are self-loathing, aren't you?
We give advice, I think.
But we get all up in people's business. And I'm not going to stop doing it just because it is your rant of the day. So, I'm going to get up in people's business right now because I have a diatribe to talk about. My diatribe is about coffee dates. Now, I said in my book that you should keep dates short and sweet, but I didn't expect that to mean that coffee dates were the only thing that you could do. First dates, I'm finding, are becoming more of a job interview than an actual date. And there's nothing less romantic than squeezing someone in for a 2 p.m. latte under fluorescent lighting. So if you're going to meet for coffee, go somewhere comfortable with couches and mood lighting. Make it a destination, not just the place that you're stopping off in between doing other things. Or better yet, be a little more creative with your first date ideas. Get ice cream. Go for a hike. do some wine tasting, play a game, go to a museum, paint some pottery, make some pottery, ride on a boat, visit an art gallery, hear some music, take a dance class. With a little creativity, a first date can be much more exciting than just a jolt of caffeine. I don't think we've ever done rants or diatribes where we've been under a minute.
Both of us.
Actually, me.
On the nose.
Mostly me, because here I am just talking about people's business. Right? Aren't we just tired of coffee dates? I'm just so over it. There's so many other things to do.
You know, I find that if I actually liked the girl, I probably would never do a coffee date. But sometimes if I'm like on the fence, coffee date's kind of nice. It's low commitment. But I hear what you're saying. That's just a sign that I didn't really like the person.
At least take her to Starbucks Reserve. Well, hopefully you all liked this show and you like Dates and Mates. If you do, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. And let us know what segments are your favorites so we can keep making more of them. In the meantime, you can follow me on Instagram at Damona Hoffman, as well as on Twitter and Facebook at the same name. You can follow Ray on Instagram, RayChristian_LA. See behind the scenes videos from us. You can see my family photos and so much more online. And don't forget to post your Techspert questions so you can see them on a future show. I'm Damona Hoffman, and we're with Ray Christian. We're signing off for this week, but until next week, happy dating.